All right, Purdue still keeping Illinois at arm's length, 48-41. Almost midway through the second half on that one. A little matinee basketball on a Monday. I'll take it. Good competitive top 25 basketball on a Monday. Mike Sauter, are you watching any basketball in an actual gym right now? Are you at a gym yet? Or are you slacking on a Monday?
No, there's no games on the gym. I do have the Purdue game just on, but
watching intently.
Yeah, no.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that you're not at a school already.
There's no game. There's only one game, or the games are like 7 o'clock tonight. So, no order for me. I even asked, like the Bennington or I'm sorry, yeah, I think Bennington Waverly's tonight, and I asked and I said, is that Waverly at Bennington is tonight, and I was like, well, cool, it's Martin Luther King Day. Like, is that it? Like 2 o'clock? And no, it's 7 because they're not out of school. So, yep, 7 o'clock tonight game, gotcha. Which I don't think I'm gonna go to, but I'll probably watch it.
Oh, they stream those? They stream them all now, don't they?
Well, basically, yeah.
Nice, good. Sauter, this is something we're gonna go through a whole bunch of different things here, but
perfect.
You know, just around the area over this past weekend, maybe felt like it was a decent opportunity for some Lincoln schools to make a move, and then falling short against some big Omaha competition. We had talked about Lincoln before and how it was kind of gearing up. There is a couple teams that can maybe make a run here. How does that feel now?
Well, not great. It didn't go well for Lincoln on Saturday in particular. I mean, we're talking about all home games. Millard North at Lincoln Northeast was the biggest one. Gretna at Southeast. Omaha Central at Lincoln East. Millard South at Lincoln High were all Saturday, and they were all in Lincoln. And now Lincoln High beat Pius on Friday night Pius, and that's like that was a pretty big upset. But Millard North wins and kind of controlled the game. I got to Lincoln Northeast about middle of the first quarter, and Millard North was already winning and basically controlled the game about 15-ish points the whole game. Gretna wins in overtime at Lincoln Southwest. Omaha Central kind of controls the game and beats East. Millard South wins at Lincoln High. I mean, Pius did beat Omaha Bryan, I guess, on Saturday afternoon. But it was a big opportunity for Lincoln teams to say, and another one even is Elkhorn South went to Lincoln North Star and beat North Star. So it was a big opportunity for, those in Lincoln or that believe in Lincoln schools that they're, just as good and all of that as Omaha schools. And it failed miserably,
right?
Pretty much. Was not a good weekend for Lincoln boys basketball. If you want to say that they're just as good or better than Omaha, it totally was not a good look. I would say
it's crazy that they all. They all lost. We still think there's some teams and certainly some players there that are going to be able to kind of put their teams in a position where they could make a run in March. But just it's kind of staggering. They all lose at the same time on the same weekend. It kind of shows you a little bit.
Yeah, and the Lincoln High Pius game on Friday night when I kind of was. Do this prep minute thing every night and kind of recap scores and that. And that game, when I saw that, I was like, whoa. that's a big one. I mean, I think that was Lincoln High's second win of the year.
That's correct.
If I'm correct. I mean, and their other win, I think, was against Columbus or something. I mean, it just felt like not great. And I don't know. I mean, Southwest is still pretty good. Gretna's the team that's coming on here. You know, I mean, they've really had a nice couple of weeks. They you know, beat Prep, went to Southwest and win. I mean, it's, Gretna feels like they're kind of making a push to be in that kind of upper or middle of the pack, I guess, top 10. You know, it's weird. Last year there was a tier and it was, you know, 1 and 2 and then a solid 3 with Prep, 1 and 2, Bellevue West and Miller North, and solid 3 with Prep. And this year it's kind of a 1, 2, 3, and then 4 and 5 are pretty established, I think, at this point in the season. So, you know, your 1, 2, 3 is, you know, Westside, Miller North, Bellevue West, whichever order you want to say. But Westside is, you know, one of the most games, only has the one loss of the year. And then Miller North and Bellevue West are right there too. And then it feels like, you know, 4 right now is Central. And then Prep is 5. And then after that, it's like, good luck. So Gretna's kind of established themselves right now as that team at 6. And then, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 through probably 15, probably like 7 through 15 could be any given night. You just don't know what you're going to get, and who wins. I mean, that's where your Northeast and Southwest and, you know, Papillion South, Elkhorn South, Papillion La Vista, like they're all kind of in that group of kind of the next kind of group. And I mean, heck, even Kearney could jump in there and beat somebody on a given night in that group. So as much as we thought there was a lot more kind of parity this year, it certainly hasn't played itself out that way, which is a little disappointing. I mean, you would think that would kind of happen. I mean, Southeast started the year really good, and then they lost to Grand Island on Friday night. So I wouldn't say cause for concern by any means, but, you know, the conversation of where people in Lincoln saying, hey, we're there, like we're just as good, whatever. No, like still got some work to do, particularly after this last weekend's result.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't look like it right now. Sorry, you wrote about the shot clock. And I guess what ultimately led to this stalling out? It felt like there was maybe some good momentum, and then a vote came, and we're kind of dead in the water.
Yeah. So the district, the NSAA has districts, and the district meetings happened on Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. It is definitely, I guess when I wrote the piece, I said it needed a full court buzzer beater to, you know, bank in order to pass for 2022-23. And I feel that way pretty strongly at this point. There's, you know, the district meetings happen, and those district meetings, how the votes work is basically the athletic directors from every school in the state vote on the proposals. And the one proposal that has kind of passed mustered up until Tuesday or Wednesday last week was Class A only shot clock. And to use it just for Class A, and it passed. Obviously District 2 is kind of Eastern Nebraska, or like Omaha and up to like Fremont and South and a little North, and, you know, like Oakland Craigs and stuff like that's in there. It passed that, obviously, because that was the first initial thing in the fall. And it also passed in District 6, which is out in the panhandle, and it failed everywhere else. So again, every single athletic director votes on the proposals if they can pass kind of the district meetings to then be taken to the board, which will be taken to the board of directors of the NSA anyway. But, you know, if it doesn't pass the districts, the board normally doesn't vote opposite of what their district wants.
Right.
So, you know, my biggest kind of I guess, problem with that is, why is Class B2 school voting on a proposal that will never affect them?
Correct.
Not never, but maybe, you know, they're afraid of the trickle down. Well, if it works in A, then it's going to work in B and C, you know, then it'll just move its way down. Well, that's like 10 years down the road, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, the proposal is an A-only proposal.
Right. So if it doesn't affect you, then why are you vote? Because you can vote yay, nay, or abstain. Well, if it doesn't affect you, just abstain from voting then. Why does it matter? That's how I, if I was an athletic director in that situation, if it didn't affect me, I would abstain from voting just because it doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't have any cost associated for me. I could care less. Probably I got bigger fish to fry. But a lot of people voted and it failed, the district meeting thing. So it's definitely on about as deep of life support as it can get. There's two things that are coming that can get it passed for A only. And, it's the next board of directors meeting, which I believe is in March. The board of directors can vote against their, caucus, if you will, and voted in that way, which is very unlikely. And then in April, when all of the athletic directors get together for a meeting, it can be brought up on the floor of the General Assembly and have a, you know, it can be a really long discussion in public, you know, conversation and I guess not public, but meeting conversation happen and people vote it that way. Those are the only two ways that it can pass right now for 22-23. So it's kind of it's really disappointing. It should have passed. It shouldn't be an issue. Like, you know, if Class B teams, it can affect because sometimes Class B plays Class A. So sure. I get it if they vote, but why are you even worrying about it if it's not, you know, it doesn't affect you? So,
yeah.
And one thing that I'm curious to see, I checked again this morning. So it's those district meetings are public meetings, so there's meeting minutes that should be coming out. They haven't been posted yet on the NSA's website, so I'm kind of curious to see, you know, which schools voted for or against or abstained. You know, kind of I want to dig into that a little bit and just sort of check on that. But it wasn't posted as of, I don't know, about an hour ago when I last looked. So when that is, I'll take a look and probably have some thoughts, I guess, from that.
Got it. Mike Sauter, NEBPreps.com. You also wrote about this. Big news in the Metro with Eric Behrens stepping down at Central after the year. He's going to go be the AD at the new high school in Westview, it's going to be called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't know if I'm sure you've thought about this before. Who's on your Eric Behrens All-Star team? Your Eric Behrens Central All-Star team?
Oh man. You would have to
include Josh Jones and Akoya Gal, right?
Yeah, it's Akoya Gal is on the list for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is easy because he's the best post player that they've had.
Correct.
So he's for sure at the top. Man, that is hard because the guards were so good.
There was a lot of them.
You go even like Carl White and
yep.
Devereaux Biggs was really good in high school. And Trishon Thurman, Tredion Hollins. Like, I guess, yeah, Josh and Akoya, that's fine. You can have those two. And then probably have to go Tredion Hollins.
I think so, yeah.
Because he could guard a little better than Benny Valentine could. I guess if I'm building like a roster, Trishon Thurman's probably on that roster.
He gets consideration as well, yep.
So there's like one spot left, and that's – you could just go three guards and two bigs, which he played like that way a lot. Probably – Benny, probably Devereaux. Devereaux was really good in high school. I'd say probably Devereaux Bates.
I think that was the exact list I had. I had Josh Okoye, Tradeon, Devereaux, and Trayshawn. That's six.
Trayshawn would be five.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably, probably it. Obviously it's a big deal. Like, when he left to go to Peru State, in 2014, when he left to go to Peru, that was, going to Noja. This is like the odds of him coming back and coaching ever again are not good, right? So, it's a big deal. It's a big loss for Central. I think if you have a Mount Rushmore of high school basketball coaches in the state, his face is on it.
Yep.
For sure. No matter, the class or whatnot. So it's probably, Doug Woodard, Doug Goltz at Ball City Sacred Hearts, probably on there for football and basketball. Eric Behrens, probably a Bruce Chubbix on there, stuff like that. So, it's you're talking a pretty big loss, and be really interesting to see who kind of replaces him at Central, and two, who's going to be the new, who's going to work for him at Westview, or who he sort of maybe helps decide to be that next head coach. It'd be really, really interesting to see that. But it's, his legacy is pretty good. Like if you look at it, he's coached 15 Division I players, and his record is now 381-79.
That's ridiculous.
that's crazy. Him leaving, I think, is a pretty big story. That's why I kind of jumped on it right away on Friday. It's a big loss for Central. It'll be very interesting to see what happens there and who the next head coach is. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Central grad, and so you kind of grow up around it at least a little bit, and knowing people that just have been around it, and that's all I've ever known Central basketball to be. Like Eric Behrens, Central basketball, and they're in the state final or the state, at the very least, the state tournament. It was a disappointment if they didn't win the state championship.
Right.
It's crazy to think about all that stuff, man. So it's going to be different around there.
It was 2008, he didn't make it, and he started in 08, he didn't make it, but he won two or three before that, 04, 5, 6, I think.
And then 9, 10.
Then it was the four in a row, right? So, and it just kind of, that one that he didn't make it there is like, what happened? And that was Bellevue West beat him in a district final on a buzzer beater.
I was there.
Yeah, that probably. Yeah. Shouldn't have been.
That's correct. That should not have counted.
Yeah. So that one's kind of the outlier, but the run, it's just, again, it's pretty crazy just to even think about that run. You'll never see 7 of 8 state titles in Class A boys basketball ever.
This level? I mean, with all that we've seen now, no way.
Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. He's pretty good. Done a pretty good job, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good way to put it. The record is great. Yeah, 381-79. Ridiculous.
79, yeah.
All right, Sauter. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, yeah. 12:30, Monday.
Yep.
Talk to you then.
Lock
if
it
not
in.
Not before. You might get a text from me about my DraftKings plays tonight. We'll see.
I'm sure I will.
All right.
Bye. Thanks, Sauter. Mike Sauter, NEBpreps.com. He will routinely send in. And I was one guy away from, winning a whole bunch. Last night he was one. What did he send me? He had Williams instead of McKinnon for the Chiefs, and it would have turned out much, much better for him. Mike Sauter, big DFS guy. Lock it in. All right, let's take a break. More up next on 1620 The Zone.